It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome to another week of the Tony Sands Show. It is Wednesday, 8 o'clock. And we're bringing you sports on Wednesday night here throughout the country with Tony Sands. You know, my main man, Bibbs, will be joining the show. He will be joining the show in a little bit from, what, the great state of Texas. So we're covering the country when it comes to sports. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things going on in the sports world today that needs to be brought to light, needs to be brought to all my listeners here that are listening to the Tony Sands Show. We're going to talk a little Tim Tebow. Is back in the news again, connecting himself with Aaron Hernandez and the University of Florida. Doc Rivers, as you know, is gone to the Clippers, have left the Celtics. That hurts my heart because I am a Doc Rivers fan, and I was a Celtics fan. Now I guess I look at either the Nets or the Brooklyn Nets or the Clippers, because I followed Doc Rivers, but then you got Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. I feel so bad though for Rondo, who is being left behind, because guess what? Now the Celtics has hired a new coach. Find out here on the Tony Sands Show who is that new coach that the Celtics has just hired. The Celtics has just hired a young gun, and I guess the Celtics organization, Danny Ames, is following the trend throughout sports where you go young, you get that energy, you try to make change in your organization. You try to make change in your organization. So it is important that we follow the NBA and the things that are going on throughout the NBA. Urban Meyer hits the news on several fronts, not knowing and finding out that Ohio State is the program that turned in the University of Florida some years ago. But not only that, he is being questioned a lot now on the handling of Aaron Hernandez when he was at the University of Florida. A lot of reporters are trying to get information out of Steve Spurrier when it comes to Aaron Hernandez, but he is staying tight-lipped. We're going to get a little bit, and we're going to dive into that. Is it right for Urban Myers to comment on an ex-player in a situation that he is in, such as Aaron Hernandez, who there's a lot of things going on surrounding him and the things that he's done, whether it be in South Florida, in Gainesville, or in the Boston area. But there are a lot of things going on with this young man, and you look at this situation, and it is a tragedy all around, a tragedy all around completely. And not only that, now here we go again with another violent situation that is taking place when it comes to the NFL. And we're going to talk a little bit about Aaron Brooks and possibly an arrest warrant that might be put out for his arrest in a situation that he was involved in. You will learn that here on the Tony Sands Show later on as it goes. And it's just so much evidence within the past couple of days that are being brought out about Aaron Hernandez. And find out here on the Tony Sands Show how Aaron Hernandez is adjusting being behind bars in the New England area. Find out. You take a guy with the house such as his, big as it is, and all of a sudden now you take you out of that situation and you put a person like him in a smaller setting, small cell, one-man cell, and it makes you wonder how this guy adjusts to life behind bars, because I find it to be so ironic. A guy that signs a $40 million deal and now all of a sudden life has turned upside down. Like I told you, we're going to get into the Doc Rivers situation. We're going to get into the Celtics' new head coach because they have went young and gunning. They're young and gunning. This guy is 36 years old. 36 years old and taking over the Celtics. Now, how did that impact Rondo's situation? Because when you look at this whole situation, Rondo is the only one that are left of this whole era of the Celtics winning championships. We're going to also talk about, like I said, continue to get into Urban Meyer's situation, Tim Tebow's situation, connecting himself to Aaron Hernandez. And a lot of players are speaking out about this situation with Aaron Hernandez. We're also going to get into a situation with Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell is popping back up in the news and wanting money. That's right, I said he's wanting money. But we're going to go to a commercial break. My main man, Bibbs, is going to join us, and we're going to dive deep into sports here in America on The Tony Sands Show. Stay tuned.
If you have a need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and also joining me is my main man, Bibbs. What's happening, Bibbs?
Man, what's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fine, man. I'm going to tell you, there is so much going on in the sports world when you talk about sports. Man, you talk about Tim Tebow's name pops back up again, and he's connected with Aaron Hernandez in Gainesville with the situation. We're going to talk about a little bit about Doc Rivers, as I told my listeners before. We're going to talk about the Celtics. Go young, 36 years old, young and gunning. Urban Meyer finds himself back in the news surrounding the Aaron Hernandez situation, B. Not only that, possibly the situation where Ohio State, where he's currently coached now, was the one that turned in Florida when he was the coach at Florida. We got Mr. Brooks, possibly another search warrant out for another NFL player. Warrant is possibly on hold right at this point for Amon Brooks of the San Francisco 49ers in a situation that he got involved in with a teammate. But, man, let me tell you, let's dive into what's taking over the sports world now, and that is Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez, man, it seemed like each and every day, B, that this thing get deeper and deeper.
Definitely. I never imagined that it would get this deep. You know, like, they're bringing up, you know, court cases or police files from 2007 now, you know, still connected him to a shooting in Boston. You know, like, it's unbelievable what type of things that this guy has been involved in throughout his, you know, since he's been 17 years old. And not to mention, we don't even know what he was involved in before that. So it's a pretty strange case now.
And that's what I'm saying. When you look at this situation, you say, okay, this situation is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. How deep? I mean, I've been trying to calculate some of the situation where they're saying shootings going on, and it appeared to be you got the one in Gainesville that allegedly, you got the one here in Florida that's definitely was him, the one shot the guy in the head. You got the two cases that they're investigating in Boston, and then you got the murder that they're investigating. That is a lot of possibilities of a guy, one guy with the statue of a guy like this name being surrounded with.
Definitely. Like I said, this is like one of the most weirdest, outrageous sports, I guess, stories I've ever come across in my entire life. You know, I've never, and I don't even mean to laugh because it's really not serious, but I've never ran across a sports athlete in general that has, you know, succumbed to this type of, you know, these type of situations. Like, I've never seen this before in my life. You know, I've seen drug cases and things, people dealing with drugs and stuff, but as far as murder, like an actual murderer or a guy that has more than one situation when it comes to firearms, this is crazy, Tony. I don't even really know what to say. Like, I just don't get it at the end of the day.
But when you look at now if this was not possibly a famous guy with the NFL or major sports, would we be also saying along the lines that this is possibly a guy, a serial killer type guy?
I don't know. I mean, they have the different criteria that they use to figure out whether someone's a serial killer, but I definitely say that he's more in the category of a gangster, a thug, you know, just a criminal at the end of the day. I wouldn't say serial killer just yet. But I would put the tag thug on him. You know, that's definitely a name that you can associate him with at this moment.
But now, how many cases or how many bodies must one have before they are listed as a serial killer attached to them? And the ironic thing about this, see, like, this guy loves shooting toward the head. Everything is, if he's allegedly this trigger man in a lot of these cases, it appears that he likes shooting toward the head more than anything.
Well, I'm no killer, so I really don't know. But, I mean, from what I've been told and what I've read, you know, that you take away the head, the body don't follow, you know.
So yeah.
If you're a killer or you're paid to be a hit man, I mean, I guess that's the easiest way to take somebody out is a head shot, one to the ear, back of the head, you know. That's the movies, though. I like I said, I don't live that type of life, so I honestly couldn't tell you. But from what I've seen, you know, and what I've heard, headshots or what—that's what it takes at the end of the day.
Because when you look at a snake, like they say, you can chop a snake body in half. Until you cut off the head, a snake can still swivel. So I guess and when you look at police officers are trained to shoot in the upper torso. To take someone out. I mean, you just let's go back to. As a matter of fact, we're gonna play this track, right? I'm wondering, and I want to wonder how this guy's adjusting to life behind bars. When you go from living a lavish life of major college sports at the University of Florida, then you go to the New England Patriots, and they're saying that a lot of teams shied away from Aaron Hernandez due to his past. But Bill Belichick was, as I stated last week, was a guy that, you know, believed in taking chances on athletes that maybe have a little, you know, flack and feeling like they can change. But this guy goes from a luxurious mansion in the Boston area to now in a one-man small cell. Let's listen at how they saying that he is adjusting to life behind bars. We're going to play this audio track number 29, and I want my listeners to listen to how he is adjusting to life behind bars. And that is audio track 29.
The sheriff of Bristol County. You've been a sheriff for 16 years. Hernandez has now been in custody with you for over a week. Can you take us through what it's been like for him in jail and how different it might be for him than other prisoners you've seen?
Well, sure. First of all, you know, when he first came in, he was assigned to our medical unit for about 4 days. He was in a single cell with a combination toilet sink and no opportunity to have any sort of contact with any inmates whatsoever. And then, of course, now he's been reclassified. Just this past week, he's been reclassified to one of our smaller units. It's called special management, where he'll still be in a single cell, but he'll be allowed out 3 hours during the day, an hour for showers and phone calls, an hour for just milling around in the common area of that unit, and 1 hour out in the recreation yard. In this particular unit, only one inmate is allowed out at any time. He'll be afforded the opportunity to order things from our commissary if he has money in an account. He'll have, his phone calls, and he'll have one visit, 1 hour of visits a week. He's allowed to have up to 5 individuals on his visit list that have to be pre-approved and screened for our security clearance. And if they're approved, they'll be able to access visits within 48 hours.
And we're back here on the Tony Sands Show. And Bibbs, as you got a chance, to hear some of the things that were being said in that, how he is adjusting to life behind bars. Do you? And when I look at this, I say, heck, with the renegade style mentality that he has, do you think life behind bars shouldn't be that bad for a guy of his size? Only thing that he's got to adjust to is that he can't get up and go to the refrigerator when he wants to. He can't drink water unless he's going to drink it out of his sink in his cell when he wants to. Life is going to take its toll eventually on Aaron Hernandez and let him understand that this is possibly where you will spend the rest of your entire life. That's got to be an adjustment for a guy of his stature.
It doesn't really matter who he is or what he does for a living. I think even the most macho of men break down when it comes to going to prison. You know, I don't think that's a place that anybody wants to, you know, live their life, any time in their life in prison, and definitely not the rest of your life in prison. But like you said, I mean, I don't think you have too much of an issue as far as me dealing with the inmate, with him, with the size he is. But, I mean, it's always people that's going to try you just because of who
Correct.
He is. And that's why I think that they have him, you know, kind of in solitary right now, just, you know, figure out, you know, what they're going to do with him and, you know, do all the general tests they need to see if he can, you know, be in general population. I doubt it that he'd make it to general population anytime soon just because of how big the magnitude of his case is right now. You know, they don't want to take the chance of somebody killing him while he's in
Correct.
General population, you know, so... You know, then justice will never be served at the end of the day. So I think that's more of a reason why they're keeping them, you know, locked up 23 hours a day right now. And that definitely has to suck. But at the end of the day, if he did the crime that he's been accused of, I feel no sympathy for him, you know.
And then that's you know, the one thing that you look at here in this whole case. And now, as they state, a lot of guys are starting to, you know, he did this, he did that. A lot of things are starting to come out now in his situations, whether it be in Florida, whether it be in, you know, South Florida, or whether it be in Gainesville or the Boston area. And, you know, one of his friends, Carlos Ortiz, a friend of his, whom prosecutors say this guy was an ex-player, you know, that night, and he was with Aaron Hernandez when this shooting was arranged. He told the cops about a flop house that Aaron Hernandez leases, a $1,200 apartment that Aaron Hernandez leases in Franklin. And on June 26, according to the search warrant, you know, by that district court, among the findings were a white hooded sweatshirt and a cranberry colored cap in a bedroom. Now, you got to understand why that hooded cap and that sweatshirt is so important, because, you know, you got to figure in that surveillance that night of the shooting, Hernandez was seen, you know, on the surveillance camera wearing a sweatshirt. So now you have that sweatshirt that was in a flop house that probably you was hoping that wouldn't get found out. But now it's found out. Now they have that evidence. Now that evidence leaking you to the night because of the sweatshirt. So now you wonder how much more in this flop house of evidence, because as you know, they did go to the uncle's residence and confiscate one of the trucks that they think that was possibly the getaway vehicle in the drive-by shooting in the two murders that, you know, that they're trying to link him to in that area. So
right,
that
right.
also brings light to this situation that were you smart or were you? And I look at this whole thing because I was talking. As a matter of fact, I went to the barbershop today and I got a haircut, and guys were asking me about it because, you know I have a show, and they was asking me, what type of guy of his stature tend to be the shooter in a case like this?
That, you know what, Tony? That's the same question that I thought. I thought the people with the money normally pay people to be the shooter. You know, I've never seen the actual boss, I guess if ever you want to call him, the boss of the organization, be the shooter. Now, I don't think that they would hesitate to shoot if they ever had the opportunity to or had to, but I've never really seen in the instance where the boss was the man, you know, holding the weapon, harnessing the weapon, and firing the weapon. Normally, they pay millions for that. They pay people to do that. And in his case, I don't see it. Like, we still don't know whether or not he was the actual shooter, but we do know he's capable of because of previous incidents that he's been in. You know, that he will shoot. You know, but in the actual murder case with the guy that most recent that he was booked on, we still don't know whether or not he actually pulled the
trigger. He was actually a shooter, correct.
Yeah, we don't know that. So
Be outside the lines, did a story involving the situation in Gainesville in 2007. We're going to play that audio because I want folks to hear what they're saying in Gainesville about Aaron Hernandez and some of the situations that he was involved in Gainesville when it comes to the violence nature that could possibly be surrounding Aaron Hernandez. Let's listen to this, guys.
A 2007 police report that documents an attempted murder investigation in Gainesville, Florida, mentions Aaron Hernandez's name outside the lines has learned. The shooting left two men injured. The status of the case remains active and open. Corey Smith and Justin Glass left a nightclub on September 30th and were in a car stopped in traffic when they were shot. Smith was shot in the head. The driver, Glass, was shot in the arm. A third man, Randall Kaysen, in the back seat of the car, was unharmed. The police report lists two suspects, former Gator and current Bengal Reggie Nelson, and a second unnamed suspect, who is described as looking Hawaiian or Hispanic, with a large muscular build and standing 6'3" or 6'4" and weighing between 230 and 240 pounds. Randall Kaysen is quoted as describing the shooter as a white male or Hawaiian with a lot of tattoos. Kaysen described the scene to police. As they were waiting for the light to change, the Hawaiian football player and Reggie Nelson walked up to their car on the right side. Then, without saying a word, the Hawaiian pointed a small handgun in the front right window and fired five quick shots. Kaysen also said he was sure that the Hawaiian-looking guy was a University of Florida football player, but he did not know his name. On October 2nd, just 2 days after the shooting, then-Gainesville Police Lieutenant Keith Kamed told the Orlando Sentinel neither Hernandez nor Nelson were suspects. They were never implicated in anything, Kamed said. We wanted some information from them. They supplied it and left. But according to the police report, Hernandez refused to speak to authorities on October 9th. The report, which redacts Hernandez's name because he was a 17-year-old minor at the time, neglected to redact his name one time. Right before a law enforcement officer states, Detective Patty Nixon and I attempted to interview Aaron Hernandez. However, he invoked his right to counsel.
Now, Bibbs, we got a chance to hear that. And that's the story that Outside the Lines ran today. You know, Kelly Knockby ran that story today. And when you hear that story, now you got to understand he was 17 years old. And a 17-year-old guy, if this allegedly was Aaron Hernandez, and we're going to always use the word allegedly because we do not know if it was or if it wasn't. But this guy gave a pretty good description of a Hispanic guy that walked straight up to a window. I mean, cleaning up to the window and pulled the trigger five times into an occupied vehicle. Now, it makes me wonder, did this guy still have the gang ties, or is this something bigger that he's trying to, because sometimes, you know, and people got to realize when you're talking about, especially when you, you know, they went to associate him with possibly the Bloods because he had that on his hand. When you look at that and you say to yourself, man, do the higher you start going up in levels, do it require you to do more and more things when it comes to making in a game?
I mean, that's typically how it works as far as gang involvement is. I mean, the more things you do, the more stripes you earn. You know, the bigger things that you do, the more stripes you earn. You know, how you get your credibility in the street. But, you know, with him being from Connecticut, though, and that happening in Florida, I don't really see how that, that ties into him and his gang ties or whatever. If as far as him, like, earning stripes, I guess doing what he did or allegedly did. But if supposedly fired 5 shots into an occupied vehicle, I think you're shooting to kill if that's the case. You know, that's more so what I would think if somebody shot up, put a gun into my vehicle and shot it out 5 times, and it wasn't once. You know, and 5 shots, it seemed more like he was trying to get rid of me at the end of the day.
Now you gotta remember that, and now you gotta remember, you know, like I said, Corey Smith, the 28-year-old at the time was 28 years at the time was sitting in the front seat of the passenger car of this vehicle and was shot right in the back of the head. Justin Glass was a 19-year-old driver, was shot in the arm.
Right.
So, I mean, one guy was shot in the head, another guy shot in the arm in this situation. So you can't say that you didn't know that this car, whoever was the shooter, can't say that they did not know that this car was being occupied by people, because when you walk up to a vehicle, unless you have these police type tents, you know there's possibility of a vehicle, people in the vehicle. And then also, now I'm gonna tell you something, when you're looking to this story that Outside the Lines are running, it also talks about, in the police report, says that Nelson and Hernandez have been in the venue of the nightclub along with two other Gator players, and that's Mike and Maurice Pouncey, the twin brothers,
right,
who are now both in the NFL after the shooting. And the investigators, you know, they interview Carlson, and he described it as emotional, and the officer indicated that Carlson several times, you know, that he talked about it, and they was talking about a necklace that possibly was snatched by Kaysen. So at this night, after the nightclub closed, so you look at this, a necklace being snatched, do it cause, but possibly the type of violence that was taking place that night. And then not only that, the investigation to me goes cold until now with this new case. Now everybody's digging. So now do the University of Florida police go back to try to interview Reggie Nelson with his involvement in this situation? Because,
you know what, Tony, I was thinking about that too, and I was like, okay, I heard that they mentioned Reggie, which is, he's a safety for the Cincinnati Bengals, as we
correct
speak. And, you know, I'm wondering how this, you know, would affect his career with it coming out, with this story coming out and him being involved in this shooting. You know, I wonder how the officials, the Bengals officials, are going to, you know, attend to this matter. And, you know, whether or not they'll, you know, address him about it, I definitely think they will, you know, and then I guess just see what happens with the investigation and thus far.
And that's what I'm saying. So now, do the Cincinnati Bengals start saying, wait a minute, hold on, we don't want to have nothing to do with these stories? Because if you're noticing, in a lot of these situations, they're releasing these guys. And they're not wasting time. Now, does this affect Reggie Nelson from a standpoint of the Bengals saying, hey, we don't need this bad PR? You're connected with this guy at a scene. Possibly, does the Gainesville police go back to say, hey, we need to investigate you, we need to speak with you, Mr. Reggie Nelson, because your name was brought up in this situation. Now we need to speak with you because we think that you was part of possibly someone shooting into an occupied dwelling? And do Reggie Nelson not say, hey, listen, I'm out, I'm free, I didn't do no shooting? Do he start implicating Aaron Hernandez to save himself?
always a possibility, Tony. You never know until, you know, they give you those ultimatums whether or not you're going to spend time in prison, you know, and you start to tell, you know, well, that's what we normally typically see when the DA start, you know, giving out certain, you know, sentences, or this is what's going to happen to you if you don't say this or don't correct. Give us information, you know, then people start to become, they turn on you at the end of the day. And the position that Hernandez is in,
correct.
It looks like everybody just about turn on him, you know.
And that's
lose at the end of the day.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back, guys. We're going to dig deep into this, and we're going to also get into Mr. Brooks, why a search warrant may be put out on Amon Brooks of the San Francisco 49ers here on the Tony Sands Show. Let's go to a commercial break, and let's dig deep back into Aaron Hernandez's pass.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. For those that are just joining us, we're talking about Aaron Hernandez and his past with brush-ins, with shootings and behavior. But now you got to figure he was on the same team with Tim Tebow at this time too, Bibbs. And you know, now saying Tim Tebow, people are saying that he tried to break up and become the peacemaker in a fight in 2007. The same year of the 2007 shooting, that he became the peacemaker in a situation that Aaron Hernandez was involved in. At a bar, to where Aaron Hernandez, you know, first of all, and this is what blows my mind when I read this. Now, this young man is still 17 years old. Now, listen to this, and I'm going to follow through this. Aaron Hernandez, then 17, Tim Tebow told him to leave peacefully. Hernandez consumed two drinks and refused to pay for them. First of all, number one, Aaron Hernandez, at age 17, does not supposed to be drinking. Now, do you question that bar, and what did they really, truly look and check IDs to see who was drinking and what the ages were of these young men that they had in this bar? 17 years old, you consuming two drinks. At 17 years old, you consume two drinks. Even though he was a big guy, you know, 17 years old, you kind of immature, don't you think?
I would definitely think that he was immature. And probably still is at this moment, dealing with the circumstances that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
I went to the University of North Texas, and I hung out with the football players, the athletes at times. And they tend to get special treatment. It's not a myth. You know, they get in places that, you know, a typical or a regular person wouldn't get in underage.
Correct.
You know, so I don't see... I definitely know how he got in. He got into the bar, you know, being under the age of 21. But, you know, I guess I don't understand how you go into a bar, consume alcohol under the age of 21, and then refuse to pay your tab. Like, that don't really make a lot of sense to me. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me at all. You know, you want to kind of keep, you know, attention from yourself by being underage, not draw attention to yourself.
And that's, you know, when you look at this now and understand this, and people got to understand, Tim Tebow was a peaceful guy. And I guess Tim said, hey, man, just, you know, probably told Hernandez, and Tim was the big guy on this team. So I understand what it feel like when you are the popular guy on the football team, and you telling a young guy that just came in, hey, man, calm down, bro, calm down. Get your butt out of here. Go home. First of all, at that time, I'm quite sure Tim Tebow knew, too, hey, you don't even supposed to be in here drinking. So get your butt out of here. Go home, man. Go home. Let me deal with this. Let Tim Tebow communicate with this guy, this employee. And Tim Tebow, at that point, decided. Now, you got to figure, in the early report, Tim Tebow's name was not even mentioned in this police report at first. But now it's coming back to light because all stones are being unturned, are being flipped over in this case. And then you got to figure, at that time, employee Michael Taphorn became very angry with Hernandez and yelled at him in the report. That's what the report is saying. And as he turned to walk away, Hernandez punched Taphorn in the side of the head. Here we go again, guys, saying the head. Side of the head. Taphorn saw a doctor the next day and was diagnosed with a ruptured eardrum, according to the police report. A ruptured eardrum. Okay, now, in that situation, now here we go. Here we go. And you know, it was recommended that he get a felony assault charge, but, you know, no charges were ever filed. And we know why charges were never filed. When you're a star player in Gainesville and you are the man, such as Hernandez was at the tight end position, you can see why, you know, something probably say, hey, man, you know, don't do that. You know, don't, let's not file charges. Probably his boss at the club, at the bar club, hey, man, we don't need this heat. We weren't supposed to have these guys in this place anyway. We had them in here. We got to take that. If you want to continue to work here at this bar, we got to take that. We definitely got to take that situation. But I got the audio. So let's we're going to play this audio, and we're going to play it. So that way people can hear, was, you know, this stuff is being reported daily. Andy Katz is reporting this stuff, man, and it is what it is. It is hot news here on the Tony Sands Show. That's why we got to bring it to our listeners, because I know everyone want to get the update on this. So let's dig into this, and I'm going to let you hear this audio and let you and your mind wonder and let you decide what should take place in these type of situations.
Hernandez were brief teammates with the New England Patriots, which came after their first time together as members of the Florida Gators. The Orlando Sentinel is reporting about an occasion when the duo were in Gainesville and Tebow played peacemaker, breaking up a fight which Hernandez was at the center of. Hernandez, a 17-year-old freshman at the time, allegedly punched a bouncer in the head after an argument over a bar bill. When police arrived at the scene, they could not find Hernandez but interviewed Tebow, who said he had tried to prevent any violence by telling Hernandez to leave and made arrangements to pay the bill. Gainesville police recommended Hernandez be charged with a felony, but because juvenile records are sealed, it is unclear how the incident was resolved. ESPN.com senior writer Liz Merrill joins us with more on this story. Liz, you've learned that Tebow had previously hosted Hernandez on a recruiting visit, and at one point they were close together. Is there any indication that players like Tebow had any influence on Hernandez in a positive way?
Well, from reading some of the reports, you would think maybe not. But, you know, from the people that I talked to for that story about Aaron Hernandez, it did get brought up a couple of times that they were fairly close Aaron's freshman year, and that, yes, he was his recruiting host. He helped Aaron decide on Florida, but Aaron also wanted to get away, to have a change of scenery, sounds like, after his father's death. But, yeah, but it's that Tebow and him were close, at least for that first year, but that, now, and this was talking to his old position coach, John Hevesy, who said that...
Now, you got a chance to hear that, Bibbs. You know,
yeah.
Tim Tebow, when you look at those two, now you got to say, wow, that had to be the odd couple.
Very odd.
That had to be the odd couple. You talk about a guy like Tim Tebow, and then you look at a guy like Aaron Hernandez, some of the things that he's being accused of, and you say, wow, how do these two cross bridges? But it almost goes to the fact to say opposites attract. And I don't know if Tim Tebow was trying to say, okay, I got this young guy here. You know, I put him up under my wing. I put him up under my tutelage, and I could possibly change this guy. But You know, and I look at this situation, and you're hearing the one thing that's the common denominator with all these cases. It talks about Aaron Hernandez's father's death. And I am curious to find out how, because I haven't got a chance to dig into how Aaron Hernandez's father passed. And how deep has this really, truly, how close they were? And if they were close, how is this? How has this affected Aaron Hernandez in his future life? That is something I'm quite sure that someone is going to, as this thing play out and later on and whatever happens, I'm quite sure some reporter is going to dig deep in that and see could they compare the depth of his father sending him on a downward spiral. Because I can remember the day that he signed with the New England Patriots, when he signed his, you know, he said how he, you know, how this is going to change his life. He's going to turn around. But now, do you take a guy that has had somewhat of a trouble pass from a community and you bring him back there and you give the guy $40 million and you really haven't tapped into trying to help the guy. Now you only have given me a troubled guy $40 million. So now you have given me more power. You've given me more power versus not. So you wonder how that plays out when it comes to a lot of this. But, you know, that's Tim Tebow. But there is another situation that has taken place in the NFL also. Now, Amon Brooks, possibly a warrant for his arrest might come within the next couple of days also, due to the fact that he hit a teammate on the head with a beer bottle several times. And the prosecutors are wondering right now, should they file charges on Mr. Brooks in this case? And it makes me wonder, and as I continue to go, and I played this violent game. I played this violent game. Does this game create violence off the field? But in my case, I can say it didn't create, because I was able to turn this game off when I came off the field. I didn't carry this game with me. Because like I said, when you look at this charge against Brooks, Brooks is being charged, possibly could be charged with felony assault with a deadly weapon. When you go to using weapons, his teammate at that time, Brooks' teammate, Lamar Divins, he hit this guy in the head. So I wonder what that situation, which left, you know, was about, and left Divins with a 3-inch cut on his forehead. When you hit it, I can see you hit him one guy one time. Bam! Okay, that's it. Not sin, but, you know, you're in the heat of, but when you go back to hit him possibly two more times, wow. I think that's what the prosecutors are now looking at when it comes to this case. You know, and Divins, you know, declined to, at this point, declined to press charges against Brooks. He declined those charges. So that's, you know, you're wondering if San Francisco have, 49ers have a say in this situation. Hey, guys, we're going to keep this in-house. We don't need this getting out. Demons is not going to file charges, and we're going to figure out how we can get this done. You know what I mean? It was a couple of guys also that was there. Lawrence Okoye and Mike Purcell, you know, all of them had been, you know, they had been drinking, and they returned to Brooks' home. Demons proceeded to throw Brooks' keys in the grass, although he actually had held onto the keys, prompting the attack, according to the statement. So now, you know, this investigator, you look at this and say, wow. And investigators, you know, they also, when they investigated deep, they were told that Brooks was intoxicated and had threatened to get a gun, according to the statement. Wow. So technically, this sounds like a friend trying to stop you from drinking and possibly driving, and you take your anger by cracking him over the head with a beer bottle, leaving a 3-inch gash in this guy's head when somebody is really trying to protect him. Because now it reminds us of the Dallas Cowboys situation.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to relate it to. You know, I'm thinking, like, well, I'm actually relating to alcohol in general. Like, it seems like a lot of these altercations or situations are occurring because of the you know, alcohol is involved. You know, and maybe if the alcohol hadn't been involved, it probably wouldn't have ended up the way that it ended up. You know, and that's kind of like what I related to. And like you saying, you talking about the Josh Brent situation in Dallas. Yeah, alcohol. At the end of the day, it was alcohol that caused that situation to happen. You know, and bad situation because he's in jail now.
Incorrect, correct.
He failed 2 marijuana tests while he's on probation. So, you know, at the end of the day, alcohol is a dangerous drug, and I doubt that it'll ever go away, ever in life. But it does affect a lot of people in society.
That it does. And now you got to figure also now you got to figure Amon Brooks was another guy that, you know, he signed a 6-year, $44.4 million contract extension last year with the 49ers. And we're saying to ourselves, man, that's a lot of money. People always say, man, these guys had a lot of money. Why did guys, money doesn't automatically change the behavior, period. So let's not think because they got money. And a lot of people assume because they got money, they're supposed to change. Guys, sometimes alcohol overtakes all of that.
Definitely.
All of that. And talking about money, guess who also is trying to recoup money? From the Oakland Raiders, Jamarcus Russell is trying to recoup money. And I think the settlement has been a coup. You got to figure, people got to Jamarcus Russell was a highly talented quarterback coming out in his years. He signed a big rookie 6-year, $68 million contract as the number one overall pick. And here we go back in 2007. 2007 was a heck of a year because I'm talking about it so much tonight. He signed that deal, and now he was cut. He was paid $36.4 million of that by the Raiders, but was still owed $3 million. Of that money.
It was supposed to have been $40 million guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken. Right,
correct,
Tony?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
And he was owed $3 million on the 36 that would have guaranteed, you know, where the 40 million would have came in, but they released him in 2010 after, you know, 3 lackluster seasons. The Oakland, okay, you know, filed a grievance against Marcus Russell because they wanted to recoup $9.55 million of that salary advance. And Jamarcus Russell, someone told him, hey, now you counter a grievance against them. And I think for $9 million, and then when the settlement came out, they settled with Jamarcus Russell for $3 million to, you know, end the dispute. So Jamarcus Russell is still trying to recoup his money from the Oakland Raiders. And when we look at this now, does this affect him trying to get back in the league? You know, he did have a tryout with last month with the Chicago Bears. Does this countersuit hurt you in trying to get back in the league at all? Do these teams say no?
Man, it could, Tony, in a way, but I honestly don't think so. I mean, if they owe this man, this young man, $3 million, then they owe him $3 million. There's nothing else to it. You know, yeah, he did kind of get over, I would say, as far as, you know, he got $36 million or 37 million dollars guaranteed.
Correct.
And he really didn't do much on the field for the Oakland Raiders besides lose ball games, and you know, and I mean, he did have a lot of other things going on in his life from what his documentary and the research states. But at the same time, the money that they paid him off his Russell, I mean, I really don't think he was worth. I mean, he lived up to it at the end of the day. He might have been worth it at the time of him being drafted and him signing that contract, but his play never showed it on the field. But like I said, if they owe him $3 million and that's what the contract stated, that he was supposed to get $40 million guaranteed and he only paid him $37 million, then they owe this young man $3 million. And that's what happened. And as far as him, it affected his NFL status? No, I don't think so. I just think that's just what he was owed, and that's what he got, and move on from it. At the end of the day, hopefully he gets another opportunity. Maybe
correct.
Not this year, maybe next year, but I don't think it'll affect his status as far as getting back into the league.
Right, hey, now let's switch gears. Let's, you know, we talked to Hernandez. We talked about Tim Tebow and his involvement. But let's get a little bit before we go off the air. We got approximately about 3 minutes before we go out there. Let's talk a little bit about the Boston Celtics hire of Brad Stevens.
What you think, Tony? I want to hear what you got to think. What you think about it? Celtics fan. I want to hear your opinion.
First of all, I'm hurt because I am a Celtics fan. Now I got to change gears and possibly either go to Clippers or with the Brooklyn Nets. But I'm saying, do you go? I guess they're saying to themselves, "Listen, we're not going nowhere," and I don't even think Rondo, who is the last Lone Ranger of this dynasty is left. I don't even think they're seeing Rondo in their plans, because you got to figure Rondo and Doc Rivers had a little skirmish there to where they had a disagreement. So now how do you take a young guy like a Brad Stevens and bring him? Now, Brad Stevens' people was at Butler. You're not saying a place like UM. You're not planning to say a place like Duke. You're saying Butler, a smaller school setting in Kansas, Butler. Danny Ames go and make that hire. I know he probably wanted to go young and say, okay, you know, I bring this young guy in, and this young guy is going to listen to me because he has no pro experience. He only has NCAA experience. So I bring this young guy in. He's follow what I want him to do. He does what I need him to do when I need him to do it. Now, you can't see a guy like Rondo paying any attention to a guy of this stature. So I think it was just a move that they made because they know they're in the phase of rebuilding. So if you're going to rebuild, start from the ground up. And we'll see just how much input does Danny Ainge have in this, just as the Miami Heat with Pat Riley have with the Miami Heat. We'll find out how this play out, because we got 30 seconds left, Bibbs. Give me your thought on it within the 30 seconds. What you think of the hire?
Well, I definitely think that Rondo's time in Boston is going to be over sometime during this upcoming season. As far as the Brad Stevens hire goes, he's part of that new age coach, that quantitative analysis type coach where they use a lot of numbers, to figure out what's best for that team. You know, correct, what's the best way for them to win, that team to win. That's what he did at Butler. You know, I think that with him coaching at Butler and not getting the best talent in Butler every year and to take his chance to two national championships, 2010, 2011, is really what got him the job. You know, at the end of the day, he's able to work with players that are not, I guess, as talented as the rest, which the Boston Celtics definitely have a team that is not as talented as the rest with the KG and Pierce leaving. And I just think that it's going to be a hard job to do, but I think he'll be okay.
Danny Ainge will take
care. It won't
Danny
happen.
Danny Ainge got him. Hey, man, listen, we got to go, folks. We're going to stay with us each and every Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time here on the Tony Sands Show. We're gone. That's all we got to say. Folks, make the right decision because it could cost you your life.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be the player for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.